The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Time for the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Streaming at 680thefan.com. We got that fan app, and you can listen on the smart speaker. Gang's all here. Nerney, Derek Thomas. Hold on. Where's Road Dogg? Well, Road Dogg was helping prior to the show. Might have stepped out to the bathroom, but nonetheless, we're ready to go on a big, big day for the Atlanta Braves. Game 3, NLDS. I'm going to lead you right up to Braves coverage here on The Fan. 11:05, 680 game day. So we get an extra 5 today to get you ready. Look back at the college football weekend, NFL weekend. Had a lot of crazy things going on. And we'll break it down during this one-hour show today. The Buck Belue Show, sponsored by Wellstar Health System. 10 o'clock hour on The Fan, brought to you by the Haug Law Group. And remember, if you missed the show from 10 to 11, you can catch that Buck Belue Show podcast on the Fan app or 680thefan.com. So no reason to freak out. Everything's good. Let's get this baby started.
Buck's Big Take.
All right, the scene is set. Close to 41,000 showing up at Truist Park here in a little bit, and they're anticipating a huge Braves Game 3 victory. And you know what? Braves country, you're going to get it. We've got the Brewers right where we want them, in our backyard, in front of our fans. And, folks, it's now a three-game series with the next two right here at Truist Park. The Braves, I did the research on this. The Braves have won two in a row at home 11 times this season. This just in. It's about to be 12. That's right. The Braves are about to win the next two. Now, how can I be so sure about that? Well, the best I can tell, the Brewers' bats, they are really, really quiet. In fact, it's almost pitiful. And it's got to be a little demoralizing for the Brew Crew. They've scored a measly two runs and are hitting 183 in the series. That big Tellez fella, that beer league softball guy, ran into a fastball middle of the plate, and that's really the only thing offensively the Brewers have done. And you know what? That was at home for Milwaukee. That was the Brewers were playing in their backyard. Now they're in Atlanta. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say there's no chance that Freddie Peralta shuts us down like he did in mid-May. And I need to mention, too, Ian Anderson has already beat these chumps once this season. Shut them down. The other thing that makes me sure that this is going to happen, Braves in four, Braves are better than the Brewers. Say it with me. Gone! It's what the Brewers are going to be tomorrow night. And they'll be heading back to Milwaukee, all right, but the season will be over.
All right, go Braves.
Bounced and going back to Milwaukee, loses, as Mel would say. Braves in four. And that's the big take today. That leads us right into a little college football talk. Don't you just love it?
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
Down goes Alabama. 100 straight wins over unranked opponents for the Crimson Tide, and Saturday night, that came to an end. Saban is now 1-24 against his ex-assistant coaches that have gone on to become head coaches. Jimbo got it done. In fact, Jimbo told one of those A&M booster clubs this summer that they were going to kick Alabama's ass. Jimbo, I'm not talking bull either, man. He followed through on that. You know, and I know it's a little bit shocking to all of us that follow college football that Alabama goes down and goes down hard, because the last time they lost, 680 days ago, November the 30th, 2019, against Auburn. And they also had a 19-game winning streak that came to an end. And did you see where Paul Feinbaum, he wants that Alabama defensive coordinator, Pete Golding, fired. Tide defense allowed 34 points. Allowed 10 points to end the game when they had the lead in the fourth quarter. You get a stop, you win the ball game. After the ball game, Saban said there are a lot of things to get fixed, and they're going to get back to work. You know, there's not enough credit given to Texas A&M for what they did. Number one, they won that line of scrimmage battle, brother. That Texas A&M defensive line, which was highly thought of coming into the season, they threw down on Saturday night. Kyle Field, that defensive line was special. Did you see him hitting that Alabama quarterback a lot? And how about the local kid, the quarterback for Texas A&M? Jake Calzada, man, he had some guts. Got rolled up on his knee, came back into the game and finished it out. Made a ton of big plays, throwing the ball around. And it's all the talk where I live. You know, he went to our elementary school, Sharon Elementary, not too long ago. Boy, he is the toast of the town out in College Station right now. And just overall for Texas A&M, the team, responding to adversity. They were a top 10 rated team coming into the year, number five, if I remember correctly. And they lost two in a row early in the year. Could have packed it in, decided, no, we're going to play this thing out. And I think highly of them, too, because Alabama came back and took that lead, 38-31, 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And I know you, like me, and pretty much like everybody else, thought, okay, that's it. Alabama's going to take them now. Not so much. Kick Alabama's ass. Texas A&M runs the table. They go 10-2, 6-2 in the SEC. They're going to need Alabama to lose one more time. But down goes Alabama in the polls, too. Did you see that? Alabama falling to number five. Herb Street and his top five had him number six. Dropped him completely out of his top five. I'm going to have mine coming up here in about 15 minutes. We'll lay mine down. But Alabama trying to regroup over in Tuscaloosa. Those Alabama fans, man. A little shot to the ego on Saturday night. They are loud and proud, typically. Alabama fans going a little bit quiet. And there's your college football nugget. Meanwhile, Georgia kicking butt over at Jordan-Hare at Auburn on Saturday afternoon. Defense continues to be the best defense in college football. They stuffed the Auburn running game. Auburn shows off coming into the year. They had Tank Bigsby, who was regarded as the top running back in the SEC. Here's what Bigsby did on Saturday against that Georgia defense. His long run, 6 yards. Carried it 10 times for 28 yards. I can use the old math and break that down for you, 2.8 yards per carry. That is lousy, is what that is. And then Bo Nix, the quarterback, completed a measly 55% of his passes, and his butt got sacked 4 times in the game. He was running for his life back there. Dogs defense on third down stepped up big. 5 of 18 is what the Auburn offense was on third down. That's 27%, using the old math again. And the Bulldogs giving up 10 points in the game. Let's hear from Big 99 Jordan Davis afterwards, was talking about how they were totally prepared for Bo Nix.
We always knew Bo was going to be a great athlete. We knew we had to contain him in this game. And I'm elated that we got 4 sacks.
Yeah, they got 4 sacks on him. Didn't let him do a lot of damage outside the pocket. Now, Georgia's offense, ton of injuries over on that side of the ball. You start with JT Daniels out at quarterback. We'll talk about that a little bit more later in the show. And then the wide receiver position now for the third year in a row completely depleted the weakness of the offense. Stetson thought Stetson played a really clean game, 14 of 21 throwing it, didn't throw it to the other team. Ran the ball a little bit, had some big plays running it, using his legs. Ran that zone read where the quarterback actually kept it. Man, you don't see that for Georgia very much. Georgia going to a run-first offense at Jordan-Hare. They ran it 70% of the time in the game. And remember all offseason, coming into the year, we were all talking about being a pass-first offense because of JT Daniels being out and the receiving core being totally depleted. Playing freshmen, playing young dudes out there. Monken going with a run-first plan in the game. Georgia's running backs, 40 carries, 160 yards, 4 yards a carry. Totally did what they wanted to in that run game. It all added up to a 34-10 victory for the Georgia Bulldogs. And now I see where all these other outlets, the coaches poll, the AP poll, Herb Street, Feinbaum, now they've all caught up with me. They've got Georgia number one, too, which is good to see. All right, game three, NLDS, Braves and Brewers, right here in our backyard, right across the street from our broadcast site here at 680 The Fan Studios. We're going to come back, chop it up, get you ready for game three. I'll drop my college football top five. That's next, coming up on the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680-93.7.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
It feels quite a bit different. I mean, I was talking to Jonathan. I think this is my first in-person, you know, media kind of deal. So even that alone just feels a lot different. But yeah, the environment in Milwaukee, the first two games, having the fans in the stands, and it feels quite a bit different.
Come on, Ian. We're counting on you, brother. You're going to do just fine. It's the Buck Belue Show on The Fan. Glad you're with us today. We got an extra 5 minutes. Awesome, baby. I'm going to talk about Alabama going down a little more, maybe. All right, coming up in five, I've got the college football top five for the Buck Belue Show. You'll hear from Stetson Bennett and Kirby Smart during this segment. And we don't have a guest today, but if we did, they would join us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line, brought to you by Hobson & Hobson Divorce and Custody Firm. And we appreciate them very much for sponsoring that. Let's chop it up, brother.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
107 first pitch at Truist Park. Understand there are just only a few tickets still available. If you want to squeeze in, you might be able to get in there today and be a part of the action. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be awesome. Ian Anderson taking on Freddie Peralta. And I'm just going to go ahead and bet that the Braves lineup isn't going to change. We're going to see Soler leading off, Freddie Freeman hitting second, Albies hitting third, Riley the cleanup man, Duvall hitting fifth, Rosario sixth, Darno seventh, and Swanson eighth. Not sure what Milwaukee's going to do. But the Braves, I think that's the way they're going to set up. Let's hear from Snitker talking about how last season Ian Anderson getting that postseason experience is going to come in handy this time around.
I mean, you can't replicate that. You know, it's just like when we bring guys up from the minor leagues, it's, I mean, I'd get called and it's like, well, they're, you know, they've done everything here, but you just never know when they get here and that third deck and things like that. And because you can't replicate that. I think just the experience that Ian's had in his short major league career is going to feed, it's going to fend for him well. He's been on the biggest stage, you know, Game 7 in NLCS. That's pretty good for a young age. And how he handled himself was extraordinary, I thought.
Yeah, not, and no doubt last season, three starts in the postseason, three series he went through last year as a 22-year-old. So that's going to help him out this time around. He says he's not going to be nervous, but he also said he's going to have an advantage having seen what Charlie and Max did to the Brewers.
You know, there's just a heightened sense of, you know, kind of everything you're feeling. You know, the focus can be heightened, the nerves and everything can just kind of be brought up a little bit more with that big crowd, and just kind of how you deal with that. And I think, you know, watching Max and Charlie, the way they kind of, their mindset showing up to the field, the way that they took the ball from pitch one to, you know, when they handed the ball off was something that I'm definitely going to draw off of and, you know, kind of channel that.
Absolutely, Ian. Watching Charlie and Max shut these guys down for the most part certainly is going to help him out. I would equate that to, let's say you're playing in a golf scramble, right? And you see two guys before you putt the ball to see the break. And then you step up as maybe the third guy in line. You're able to drain the putt because you've seen how the putt's going to break. Ian Anderson faced the Brewers back in May. Braves won the game 5-1. He went 6. Allowed 2 hits and 1 earned run, struck out 4 and walked 4. Ian Anderson looking to electrify this crowd with his performance. Coming up tonight, we'll talk about Freddy Peralta a little later in the show and what kind of stuff he has. Able to see some video and scout him out last night getting ready for the show today. And there you go. That's us chopping it up. Braves and Brewers, Truist Park, 107 first pitch. I can't wait.
All right, go Braves.
Can't wait. And, man, I was seeing the college football rankings that dropped overnight, and I was a little surprised with the way the AP shook out and the coaches' poll shook out. Let me give you the Buck Belue Show college football top five.
The best in college football and the NFL.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time for Buck Belue's Top 5.
All right, falling out this week, James Franklin and the Penn State Nittany Lions. Under consideration. You know, I considered Iowa. And just to cater to my partner on Saturday, Steve West, and I thought about Coastal Carolina for a moment. Might have been just a second, but, you know, I did consider it. Their quarterback's playing some good football. All right, checking in at number 5. Back in for the first time in weeks, the Ohio State Buckeyes. C.J. Stroud. See what he did on Saturday? Threw for 400-plus. 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Have a day, kid. Ohio State Buckeyes back in the top 5 at 5. Moving up from 5 to 4. The Oklahoma Sooners. They got him a new quarterback. Do you see this kid, Caleb Williams? He's a real dual threat quarterback. Move over, Spencer Rattler. Caleb Williams, man, he can throw it and run with it. And one thing that was very obvious, you could tell by the reaction of the team, this is the guy they want at quarterback, not Spencer Rattler. Caleb Williams went in, did some good things. The sideline was just going crazy. Defense, by the way, really questionable for the Sooners. I'm just saying. Oklahoma Sooners checking in at 4. Staying at 3 this week, the Cincinnati Bearcats, now 5-0. Beat up on Kincaid's team 52-3 this past weekend. Temple's terrible. Desmond Ryder and Jerome Ford, getting it done offensively. That's a really good combo, quarterback and running back. Defense, really playing a really good brand of defense, too. Ask Georgia about that Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl last season. Defense allowing a 3 of 13 conversion on third down, allowed 3 points, forced 3 turnovers. Cincinnati Bearcats staying at 3. Staying at number 2, the Alabama Crimson Tide. You know, I just think it's utterly ridiculous that the AP and the coaches have dropped Alabama. AP's got them at 5. Coaches has them at 5. Kirk Herbstreit's got them at 6. Goodness. I mean, the eye test tells me that Alabama's the second best team in college football. They would kick Cincinnati's you know what. Oklahoma, too. And Herbie, they'd beat up on Ohio State, too. I'm going to keep the Alabama Crimson Tide number 2. And staying at number 1 for the 4th consecutive week, I've got the Georgia Bulldogs. Welcome to the party, AP and coaches. Georgia Bulldogs are numero uno in spite of all these injuries. So I've got Ohio State 5, Oklahoma 4, Cincinnati 3, Alabama 2, and those Georgia Bulldogs number 1.
Bucks Top 5 on 680 The Fan, Atlanta's sports station.
No, I considered Iowa. I've got Iowa 6 in my Buck Ballew Top 5, Buck Ballew show. So, yeah, Iowa look playing pretty good defense. They're in their backyard. Offensively, they don't have a whole lot offensively. So I downgrade Iowa because of that. Played at home, won a big game at home, and did it with defense. Man, there were some crazy things going on this weekend. I believe Home Team was pointing this out with the locker room show. Everybody in Metro Atlanta won. Everybody should be feeling good today on this Monday. We had Georgia won. Georgia Tech won. Georgia State won. Kennesaw State won. The Falcons won. The Braves won. Heck, I can go back to high school. We had our ninth grade team win at South Forsyth High on Wednesday. Junior varsity won on Thursday. Then the high school in the big rivalry game, South Forsyth taking on West Forsyth. South Forsyth emerges victorious in overtime. So we, the Ballew family, man, we had a really good weekend starting on Wednesday as our youngest son plays ninth grade. Our oldest son plays junior varsity with as a 10th grader, and then our daughter, a cheerleader for the varsity. We did a lot of winning this weekend, man. It felt good. And I tell you what, you just don't see Alabama lose very much. So that was a crazy weekend, seeing Alabama go down, Nerney. First time in 680 days that Alabama's lost a football game. Were you stunned, Nerney, when you saw it going down?
I do love the overreactions coming from, I mean, you mentioned Feinbaum calling for resignations from the D.C. I mean, they lose one game. And, I mean, obviously, Tech, give credit to Jimbo. He had his guys ready. Game plan was spectacular. Players performed very well. But, I mean, to say Alabama just needs to cut bait with people.
I mean seriously.
Maybe Bill O'Brien.
And then dropping them down to 5-6?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Man, they would kick Cincinnati's booty. They would take down Oklahoma and Ohio State. I think what happens, you get so excited because you finally, if you're not an Alabama fan, you're so excited. Oh, my goodness, Alabama lost. We never see this. Alabama had the lead, though, with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and just let it get away. And I tell you what, that Kyle Field, I've played in front of some crazy crowds playing here in the Deep South, man. I mean, there's some great venues. Historic venues you've got to go in and win at, Jordan Hare being one of them. But I've never been to Kyle Field, but boy, that place is rocking. That is a tough place to go in and get a victory. Speaking of losing, I saw the Jags lose their 20th game in a row. Jacksonville Jaguars. Imagine being a fan of that organization. You've lost 20 games in a row. The NFL record is 26, Nerney. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when they first got that franchise, 76-77, you know, had that winless season. They've got the NFL record at 26. And I tell you what, looking at the Jags' schedule, they could very easily be on a 26-game losing streak when they face the Atlanta Falcons coming up down the road.
I think at this point, I think you just keep Urban Meyer along as punishment. You make him see this season out because you're not going to turn it around and turn this team around this year, obviously, if you're the Jags. So, you know, just punish the man by making him stick, you know, through this six. Make him walk away. Don't make the move first. Let him come up with an excuse, a health-related thing, and let him leave town or make him stick through it.
You know, I just know exactly what Urban Meyer's thinking right now. He's thinking, okay, where's that blonde at? No, he's not thinking that. He's thinking about the football team. He's thinking about how it's everybody else's fault. He's done everything correctly. Urban Meyer's done everything right. It's the other coaches that are letting him down. It's those players that are letting him down. It's not Urban Meyer's fault. Come on, he's brilliant as it relates to football. And then after he thinks about that, then he's thinking about the blonde. Talk about poor performances. Man, I just happened to catch the end of the Packers-Bengals game yesterday and saw something I've never seen before, and that is five consecutive missed field goal attempts in that game. Evan McPherson, a rookie with the Bengals, and you got Mason Crosby, a veteran for the Packers, from the two-minute mark in the fourth quarter through overtime. If you saw the end of that game, you saw five consecutive missed field goals before Mason Crosby came out and kicked the game winner. Never, ever seen a poorer performance than that. My goodness. And then, you know, the last crazy thing before we move on, Nernie, how about this? You know, on the College Football Today show that we do prior to your show on Saturday, me and Steve West, we're picking two picks with the point spread. We pick, make two picks every Saturday morning, and I had Oklahoma -3 and Iowa -1.5. And both fell behind big time early in the game, on the verge of just getting blown out. And somehow we're able to recover, come back, and cover both of those point spreads. And this was just my reputation on the line. I mean, if I'd have had the mortgage payment putting down on those games, I would have had a heart attack before those games were over.
Well, the word is, during the halftime speech, the head coaches for both teams actually replayed your segment, your pick segment from that morning, just to kind of inspire the guys.
Yeah. Hey, have you heard Ken Nugent and Buck Ballew? That's me. We're teaming up to give back to the brave men and women of our military. Ken's donating $500 each week to one member of the military every Bulldog football game this season. If you're a member of the military, go to attorneykennugent.com to get entered up. Ken Nugent, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Let's get to the Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs, and it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballew.
25-20, first down, like 15, 10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Online at gapackandload.com. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Have you heard? Georgia Bulldogs ranked number one in college football, both in the AP and in the coaches. And have you heard? ESPN Game Day coming back to Athens. In fact, they're bringing everybody, even the SEC Nation show on the SEC Network. They're coming to Athens this Saturday. Going to set up at Myers Quad. I believe they'll do the entire 3 hours there at the Myers Quad. And so I've determined that there's only one guy associated with Georgia that's happier than quarterback Stetson Bennett. And that's got to be David Pollack. Pollack, one of the stars of game day, has got another home game this weekend. He'd get to sleep in his own bed again this week. So get ready for game day. Coming up on Saturday as Kentucky comes to town. Let's talk about the quarterback situation as Stetson Bennett really went out and played a really solid game over at Auburn. And let's hear from Stetson before I comment further. Stetson says, you know what, it's fun being the Georgia quarterback.
I try to keep level. It's never, in my opinion, it's never, I leave all the, I'll get juiced up sometimes. I need to keep a level head and, you know, make sure we execute our offense. But it is fun.
Stetson Bennett playing a really clean game for the Georgia offense. Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator. Stetson, 14 of 21, throwing it around for a little over 200 yards and two touchdowns. No turnovers. You got to love that. Stetson, too, making some big plays with his legs. On that read option, that defender caving down on the run, he pulled it out and scampered for about 30 yards. We have not seen that since Georgia started running that play with Jake Fromm into JT Daniels. Stetson, really the only one of those three guys that can really operate that play. Stetson doing a really good job as the quarterback this past Saturday. Now, word is JT Daniels, the lat injury that has kept him out the last couple of games, has improved enough to where when he warmed up prior to the game at Auburn on Saturday, reportedly there was no pain. No pain for JT Daniels. So I think what we'll see happen is JT will get plugged back in and be ready to go against Kentucky on Saturday. He's only played two full games this season, so he needs the playing time. And reading the tea leaves, I think you're going to see Georgia plug him back in at quarterback. Not that they're going to not play Stetson Bennett. I'm not saying that. I'm anticipating JT Daniels will get the start on Saturday, and you'll see Kirby do what Kirby's done previously, is get Stetson in the ball game with a series or two early in the first half. But great news, JT Daniels pain-free prior to the game against Auburn, and a full go at practice this week. Again, get ready for Stetson Bennett to still play if you've become a big fan of Stetson. But JT Daniels, I know they've got an off week after the Kentucky game leading into Florida, but we're at the point in time mid-season where JT Daniels needs playing time if indeed he's going to be the quarterback down the stretch. This passing attack has got to get unlocked. Look at Georgia's chances of winning the national championship with that defense and with these running backs and the ground game they can throw out at opponents looks really good. But in my book, Georgia's going to need the passing attack to score enough points to beat Alabama down the road. And this wide receiver position is got to improve also. I mean, they're playing guys they didn't count on playing so far this year. Ladd McConkey stepped in. He's done a great job. Ad Mitchell is coming on as a freshman receiver, and he will continue to develop. But these are not the receivers that Georgia had planned on using. They got to get JT Daniels out there, get some of these wide receivers back in there offensively so they can lead with the passing game in some of these big games coming up down the stretch. Let's hear from Kirby talking about what they're dealing with on offense. They've got to rely basically on the next man up.
Our offense has been so different every week in terms of who's available, and our offensive staff is using the weapons we have, and thankful that we have enough guys still healthy that we can have a functioning, good, explosive offense. And all you can do is take the guys that are healthy and go play with them, and it's next man up. I thought those guys stepped up today.
Yeah, and it's the beauty of having a balanced offense is from week to week, when you have some injuries, when you're facing a certain defense, you can change it up from week to week. And Georgia has been smart, Coach Monken, Coach Smart, and going run first with JT Daniels out and the receiving core being in transition. They're playing guys you typically wouldn't see out there a whole lot. Against Auburn on Saturday, 70% run was the offensive plan, 30% pass. I'm not sure that's going to win you the national championship, so got to get this passing attack going again. I'll tell you what, Sawyer going down as the latest starter for Georgia on offense, rolled his ankle during the game, and then Broderick Jones, highly thought of, five-star offensive lineman, came in and got his first significant playing time for Georgia. And I thought Broderick Jones at left tackle for Sawyer really held up nicely. both in the run game and in the passing game. I think Georgia has a star on their hands down the road with Broderick Jones as that left tackle. And there's your Bulldog Roundtable today. All right, coming up, we'll get you ready. More preparation for the Braves Brewers coming up here. Tap the app. You can hear the Braves Brewers Game 3 crystal clear wherever you're at. Coverage will get underway at 11:05 with the pregame show there. 680 Game Day coming up at 11:05. By the way, typically we will give you the Kirby Smart press conference from Athens live at noon. You'll be able to find that at 680thefan.com. And also, Road Dog, who's over there working the press conference right now, he's not just got his feet up next to the pool. Road Dog actually working over in Athens. We'll get that press conference up in podcast form. You'll be able to find that at thepodcastpark.com.
Thanks, and go Dawgs.
He will get Kirby saying that again. That happens at the end. When Kirby gets done with the interview, that's what Kirby's going to say.
Thanks, and go Dawgs.
Absolutely, that's it. Coming back, Braves talk, and mention that Matt Ryan performance over in London, too. It's the Buck Ballew Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Okay, where's that blonde at?
That's what Urban's thinking. Where's that blonde? Only coach in NFL history that didn't fly back with his team. I mean, seriously. The nerve of this guy. It's the Buck Ballew Show here on The Fan. Got a couple extra minutes today, which is good. 680 Game Day coming up at 11:05. Gives me a chance to talk about Freddie Peralta. Braves Game 3 today. Series tied at 1. Game 3 at Truist Park, obviously. We're going to have a close to sellout crowd in there today, cheering on Ian Anderson. And I did a little scouting last night on Freddie Peralta, 25-year-old right-hander for the Brewers, 5'10", 170 pounds. But boy, this guy, his fastball is pretty amazing. So, if you remember, he faced us back in May and threw a two-hit shutout for 6 innings. Struck out 8, walked 1. So he's really impressive back in May. But he trended down in September. The team was 2-3 in his 5 starts. His ERA was 4.70. So when we saw him in mid-May, Freddie Peralta was at the top of his game. During the month of September, not really the same guy. And the scouting report was able to check him out and see what he was up to there. He's featuring basically Freddie Peralta featuring 2 pitches. So he's not like, you know, somebody's got a big repertoire. He's got a fastball, 4-seamer. He's rushing up there 96, 97 miles an hour and commands it at least much of the time this season, commanded that fastball where he could get it low in the strike zone. And then you're seeing a lot of this with the swing angle that a lot of these guys have these days, trying to hit the ball out of the park. very effective throwing the hard fastball at 97 up in the strike zone. And then the pitch number two for him is the slider. And it's been a really good combination for him. This is, you know, the fastball, high-velocity fastball, and then the filthy slider. That's what drove me out of professional baseball in the minor leagues. Because as a hitter, what goes on is you say, okay, I got to turn the swing loose to catch up to the 97-mile-an-hour fastball. And when you do that and you get the slider, well, you're basically dead. So that's where his success is coming from. Locating the fastball and does a good job with the slider, keeping that low and away to the right-handed hitters. He's going to mix in a little bit of a curveball and a changeup. You won't see a lot of that. It's basically we're coming at you with the hard stuff, brother. Can you hit it? We're going to throw that fastball at 97. Then when you try to sit on that and try to speed that swing up, we're going to hit you with the slider. Freddy Peralta, got to find a way to get after him today. The Braves lineup is now out, and it's what we thought it would be. Soler, Freeman, Albies, Riley, Duval, Rosario, Darno, and Swanson, 1-8. And hopefully we got one of those dudes ready to do some big things here today. Won't take much with Ian Anderson going. Looking forward to, seeing Ian, too, who seems to have ice water in his veins. Watching Ian Anderson doesn't really get bothered by much. That changeup is fantastic. I sure hope he has the good stuff coming into the game today. Looking forward to it. Let's get to the final word. Matt Ryan gave us another quality performance yesterday in London, and I totally enjoyed it. Matt hit 33 of 45 passes for 342 yards and 2 touchdowns. Did not have an interception or a sack. Matt hit 8 different receivers. The Falcons had 28 first downs and were 9 for 14 on third down. Basically, Matt Ryan carried this offense behind a shaky offensive line, very little run game, and his 2 top receivers who did not play. Matty Ice was outstanding, smart, tough, and loyal, and a future Hall of Famer. His 31 fourth quarter comeback wins ties him with Elway for 8th all time. But you know what? It's his 55% winning percentage over his 14 seasons with my Atlanta Falcons that's got my respect. He's won 55% of his starts. And this is playing for an organization that loses 57% of the time. Matt Ryan's flipped it. Matt Ryan's a winner with the Atlanta Falcons, not a loser. It's what we're used to seeing. I don't understand the criticism of Matt Ryan, and I never will. Keep up the great work, Matt. At least you have one guy that totally appreciates. Okay, two. I know Finneran respects him also. Good to see us win, man. That was awesome stuff. All right, that's going to do it for the Buck Belue Show. Let's get ready for Braves baseball. 680 game day coming up next. We're back tomorrow at 10. Hope you'll join me then. Go Braves! Let's get these suckers. Braves in 4, baby. Look out.
Great to see you, Buck.
Thanks, Coach.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Belue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.